Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Rich Weber, Chief Pilot for the Jacksonville Sheriff's Aviation Unit and aviation speaker from Jacksonville, Florida, who is today's host.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Rich Weber, with the Florida Aviation Network, broadcasting to you live from the Howard Hughes exhibit at the Florida Air Museum for Sun and Fun 2013 here at Lakeland Linder Regional Airport in Lakeland, Florida. We're talking with Janet Ivey of Janet's Planet, an educator that's trying to get kids involved and in reaching out to our young and our youth that's going to be our future aviators. So it's quite exciting, and I'm quite excited to introduce our next guest, Mr. Lee Lauterbach with Stallion 51. He's the founder and president of a quite interesting and great organization. Welcome.
Rich, it's great to be back to Sun and Fun.
It's
and
great to see you again.
Well, thank you very much.
Good deal. Well, for some that maybe may not know, give us a little bit of background about kind of where you started and where you've been even prior to even Stallion 51.
Well, actually, Rich, I started flying gliders at 14, I grew up in an aviation family. My father was a Navy pilot flying actually the PBY and big TBM seaplanes, and five boys in the family, and he sort of promoted aviation. So my first experience was actually in a glider in DeLand, Florida, and I knew that aviation was a career path that I really wanted to pursue. So I got into power. I soloed on my 16th birthday, and I got my ratings, and all I wanted to do was to be a military fighter pilot.
Excellent.
That was my goal. But sort of in growing up with that, I realized my vision was not quite 20/20. But I figured, you know, when the time came, I could lie, cheat, or steal
that
last line. But guess what? I couldn't. So I actually went to work for Arnold Palmer, the golfer, and at 23 years old. And I stayed with Mr. Palmer for 17 years, flying his Learjet and all the Citation jets.
Oh, well, it's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
It really was. And something near to dear to your heart, helicopters.
Yes.
And so we had a little 500E model.
Excellent.
That was just terrific. And but my dream of flying fighters was never dashed. And in 1987... the Navy Test Pilot School put out a contract for what they call qualitative evaluation work. And it was to allow the test pilot students to experience handling qualities or deficiencies in high-performance former military airplanes. So the Mustang was the perfect airplane.
Yeah, that was.
And so in sort of kidding, we identified the contract and the airplane, and told the bank we had a contract, and told the military we had the airplane. Everything passed in the middle of the night.
Right, exactly. And, but up to that point, you didn't have any warbird experience. You'd just been flying for Mr. Palmer then.
Pretty much so, although I had flown all kinds of different airplanes, T-6s.
Okay.
And I first flew the Mustang like in 1974, 75, and I just fell in love with it. It was like, this is what I really want to do
I'm
in
envious.
My life.
That's excellent.
And so that sort of launched it. I stayed with the boss until about 1990, flying the jet. I flew the helicopter a couple more years that. And sort of made this a career path now.
Right. I knew that you were helicopter rated and, of course, instructor and everything quite through there. But I didn't know even when you were flying with Mr. Palmer that you were even doing that. That was when you got the 500?
Yeah, it was the 500. And it was truly a three-dimensional Ferrari.
Yeah, they are. They really are. It's a lot of fun. So what I hear about. Okay, so then that came with the contract and with the Air Force.
Yeah, actually the Navy at that time.
Oh, I'm sorry,
and,
the Navy.
So we developed a training program based around the Mustang. Like a lot of high-performance airplanes in civilian hands, for example, the Learjet in early days, training programs became very, very important, proper training.
Sure.
And the high-performance propeller-driven aircraft, like the P-51, really didn't have great safety records. And because there was no really good discipline training program involved.
Informal training,
exactly.
Per se. Because would you say, is this fair to say that even back in the World War II era when they were, man, they were pumping them out, that's exactly what they were doing? They were giving them kind of what they needed, and they were getting a lot of on-the-job training?
That's exactly right. And you know, in a sense, I think they lost more airplanes in training than they lost in combat.
Mm-hmm.
In today's world, not acceptable.
Right.
So we developed a training program that I think sets the standard for high-performance propeller-driven aircraft today.
And it makes all the difference in the world because, you know, as everybody, that safety is important. And over the years, you know, it's really developed more and more, and that's what, you know, it's what everybody talks about now is safety, whereas we were just mentioning, and it wasn't as important, I don't think, if maybe that's not the right word. It was probably important, but they just didn't put enough emphasis on it, so... That's excellent. You know, that is having that kind of formal training is what is really needed.
Well, you're true. It is all about safety today. I mean, we're flying these high-performance combat airplanes that were designed as fighters.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't designed for going and flying at, you know, around the country on a Sunday nice afternoon.
Absolutely.
So proper training is just key. And so I would like to think that, you know, Stallion 51 has made a major contribution to the safety of the heritage and the Warbird aircraft that we fly today.
It has made a huge contribution, as you know, obviously, but you hear it all the time. So just to kind of give you some insight and look at all the, you know, you hear it all the time, oh yeah, Stallion 51, you can go there and get training. And you know, you see, I'm sure, how many Mustang pilots come there because you either want to get a checkout for insurance or they want to buy one. They want to enhance their skills. They want somebody that's safe and experienced and a great P-51 instructor, so they come to you.
Well, if you look at it, Rich, the aircraft today, like the Mustang, are national treasures.
Yeah.
And I really think we all have a responsibility to keep not only the industry safe, but that treasure safe. And mm-hmm. So that's the way we've always looked at it. I'm one of the most fortunate guys. I get to go fly the Mustang almost every day, and I have for 25 years,
mm-hmm.
but I also try to keep that safety niche in mind for everybody.
Yes, but with your experience and the time in the aircraft, that is right there. You know, that's it. You know, you want to go to somebody that has experience, has time in it, that can, you know, fly it with their eyes closed. You know, and you know,
I do. Yeah,
not literally, of course. But what I'm saying is, you know, that's what you hear. Oh, you know, go to Stallion 51, and you're going to be good to go. So.
Well, it's what we do, and we look at all avenues of the airplane. We approach it from a military standpoint, and I would like to think our record speaks mm-hmm. for itself. And, you know, the treasure of that airplane is to pass it on to the next generation. So
right.
That's a big responsibility.
And it is, and it's a part of, you know, it's American history, you know, and it's what we, you know, the P-51 with the, is what we, in the World War II, it was a World War II era aircraft, and that's history, and American history. So that's, like you say, it's a treasure.
Well, it really is, and you know, mm-hmm. if you look at it, the heritage of this aircraft, I mean, is directly responsible for some of our freedoms of today.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the guys that did it for real, you know, if somebody asks me, what's the most fun thing I do? I fly in the Air Force Heritage Flight Program, where I get to fly right next to, you know, an F-22 or the F-15 Eagle, the A-10, the F-16.
Yes, I'm glad you asked me about that. I wanted you to elaborate on that, so please do.
It is the one thing, you know, I can go up and I can do loops and rolls and I can put the airplane through max performance, but what really brings the crowd to their feet is when you take something like a P-51 leading an F-22 Raptor, a current fighter of today,
mm-hmm.
with an F-16 current fighter, and maybe a P-38 in the slot. Wow. It speaks volumes of the sacrifices that some of the guys made to allow us to do things like Sun and Fun and mm-hmm. the other treasures.
Absolutely.
So it is, you can't help but look over those airplanes and smile that, wow, this is really, really neat.
And to be able to continue with that and try to make it last as long as possible, like you say, hand it on to the next generation, but... Because the longer we can keep it around, it just makes us feel good too. You know, as we get older, maybe we can't fly, but it will. You know, even like the P-51 Mustangs, pilots of that time, you know, that era, that were actually flying them over there. Can imagine how they feel. You know, they see them still flying, rather than if they were all in the scrapyard. You know, so that's a great thing that you and Stallion 51 does, as well as, you know, the other P-51 owners. But they've got to have a resource, and you've become a great resource for them.
Well, it's interesting how the the pilots of these current day fighters keep getting younger all the time.
That's not right, is it? I understand.
Yeah, it really is. So yeah. They are terrific and true professionals, and real honored to get to do and participate in the Air Force Heritage Flight Program.
Yeah, that is neat. That's something. How long has that been around now?
It's been around since 1997, in sort of a test article.
Okay.
And the response was so terrific that the Air Force just embraced the program, and over the years, it's been one of the most popular recruiting tools for the United States Air Force, and as I said, for the general public to come out and view it. It brings tears to their eyes.
It leaves you in awe. I've seen it. You know, you see that, and it makes you think. It makes you think back about that time and what was going on at that time and what it was for. You know, the World War II and the cause and like you said, what they did and the sacrifices they made. So that and then you see then in the modern day aircraft. You know, right beside them, and it just all that whole time frame. And I think it even probably makes the youth think a little bit, even though they don't know much until they get educated about World War II and the P-51 Mustang and kind of what's taken place since then. But it really makes them think, and that's, I think, it's an important thing, too, to get our youth thinking about not only aviation, but also kind of life in general. You know, it kind of makes them, kind of builds character.
Well, it truly does. And it's interesting to draw that comparison of 70 years. You know, if you look at where the Wright brothers started and where aviation is today, take another little segment of Heritage Flight, for an example, of the P-51 Mustang as it relates to the F-22 Raptor.
Yeah.
And you're talking a fairly short period of time, one lifetime virtually.
Yes.
And going over there.
And look at the accomplishments.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, leaps and bounds in aviation.
The only one thing is, though, I get tired of waiting up for these young kids with these hot jets. You know, I've always got a power bank. No,
I don't understand. Guys, come on now. You know, I'm going to have to – this slow flight's getting a little bit old, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, well, that's excellent. So there's probably a lot of people want to know, how much time do you have just in the P-51?
Well
– or probably stop keeping track, right?
Actually, I started to count several years ago because the question was coming up
that's
a lot.
That's why I ask you. There's
and so – there's a tally running. One of my goals in my lifetime is to get 10,000 hours in the Mustang.
In the Mustang.
I've got 8,700 plus hours now. So,
incredible.
And somebody said, what would I like to do tomorrow? I'd like to go fly the Mustang.
Right, yeah.
So it's a catch-22. I've gotten to fly the airplane in a lot of different capacities, whether it's instructing or doing orientation flights or military work with a test pilot school or Air Force, but sharing the airplane with other people has been really fun for me.
Yeah.
And I get to go up today and fly a flight demonstration about 5 o'clock today.
That's what
and,
I was told.
And put the airplane through its paces, and I look in the back seat and there's nobody there, and I'm going like, wow, hey, I'm by myself.
Did I forget somebody? Do I need to go back and get somebody? Great.
Exactly. You want to go?
Yeah, exactly. Well, see, that's good, though. I mean, that's great. You know, just think about it. Kind of, it's quite rewarding to be able to, an accomplishment, you know, to say that, you know, hey, here's what I've done. But that's why I ask you, because I think people are interested, you know, when they look at the P-51 and somebody has a distinguished training, you know, record, or I guess, and everything that you do, they want to know, wow, how do you get to there, you know? Well, it's just a lot of hard work and everything, but it's really lent you to be able to give back to the P-51 community, you know, a skill to be able to give them that kind of training.
That's one of the things that Arnold Palmer taught me. One of many things was to give something back to something that has been a big part of your life, and certainly true. And as I say, I love sharing the airplane. I'll talk Mustang all day long, as you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've flown some really neat airplanes. I've flown a lot of the military airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
I had the honor of flying with the Blue Angels about 4 months ago. And
excellent.
And, but if somebody said, what would you – you could only pick one airplane the rest of your life, what would you pick? Oh, it'd be the P-51.
Right.
No doubt about that.
Yeah, it's like just a part of you now.
Yeah, exactly right. So I'm truly blessed to get to do that.
That is good. And, so you've got the air show later this afternoon at 5. And this is Saturday, one more day of the air show. And it's kind of it's in full swing still, but is there any more shows for you tomorrow?
No, I won't fly tomorrow. It's gathering our resources and going back to work. And you being a big safety guy, we've been developing an unusual attitude training program for corporate flight operations. And guys that don't spend a lot of time in more extreme attitudes or upside mm-hmm. down. So we've developed a training program through a company called UAT, Unusual Attitude Training. We operate a jet for corporate flight operations. So our flight surgeon, Dr. Bush,
yes,
teaches the aeromedical aspect. He's also one of my instructor pilots. Mm-hmm. And I've got two other guys that are highly accomplished jet guys. So we've been running corporate flight operations through the jet training program, and terrific response to it. And you know, they all come back more competent pilots and
yeah, better educated. Knowledge is
exactly
the key,
right.
You know, with spacious orientation and because you know, Dr. Bush and I were talking about that, and in some, you know, inadvertent IMC and that leading to spacious orientation and the upset training, and because you get upset, you need to be able to get unupset.
Isn't that true? Yes.
So we'll put that in the dictionary. We're going to be unupset, but that's what keeps people alive, you know, and it keeps people safe. So that's a great thing that you guys have added at Stallion 51. Not to, you know, to include, you know, all the other training that that we've discussed a little bit about, and you know, having the AV doc on hand.
Absolutely,
it's
nothing
excellent.
Better than having your own flight surgeon.
You can fly in, have a flight surgeon right there. You can get your medical. You can also do an annual physical, you know, more than just the annual. So if you have any kind of problems as we keep getting older that might be sneaking up on you that you're not aware of, maybe it'll be caught, you know, before it actually grounds you or permanently grounds you, you know, whether it's temporary or permanent. Maybe there's some things that come up in your blood work or whatever it may be that normally you don't get in your typically, you know, annual physical or whatever, you know, depending on the grade, the class of physical, but it's going to come up and you're going to find out about it before it's too late. And so that's a great thing. And
it's really, really important. And when Doc Bush came on board with us, I said, one of your missions is to keep me in the cockpit. And I have never been poked and prodded and stabbed and looked at so many different ways in my life.
Right.
And so it upped it. And it became not only just getting your physical, but a wellness program.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always got me on this deviation of, okay, getting the most out of me.
That's excellent, though, because, you know, we, me flying for the sheriff's office up in Jacksonville, obviously have a flight physical, but all police officers, we have wellness as well.
Yep.
And it's a great thing because there's things that they've caught on people that they would have never known before it was too late, you know, whether it was just something minor or something that required surgery. And so the wellness program is great. It keeps us flying. And even though we're getting poked and prodded and stuck, hey, you only hurt the ones you love, I guess, right?
That's exactly right.
And
but
so,
all in good deal. We're probably one of the few civilian flight operations that actually has a flight surgeon. And, you know.
On site. I think so.
It's real important for our business. And
it is.
You know, the liabilities of what we do. So mm-hmm. Doc is... you know, we have a lot of laughs and giggles about him, but he's a key to the Stallion 51 operation.
He is. He's a wealth of knowledge. He's got, you know, the great experience in his background and being a flight surgeon and an ophthalmologist. So there's another thing that, you know, where can you go get your flight physical with an ophthalmologist? Because it's not like you're just going to see an optometrist. If you have a more serious eye problem, he's going to be able to detect it and do something about it.
That is so true. And you know, I'm always having to read that real small print,
mm-hmm.
but here's the irony. And life is full of ironies, as you well realize. Where I couldn't pass the eye check at 18 years old for the military,
mm-hmm.
today I can read that. I could qualify today because the requirements have changed. I'm still not quite 20/20, but
I know
I may be one letter off.
But you know, that is the irony of sometimes of life and how things, you know, how we get curveballs thrown at us, you know, and to think that, well, now they'll take and, okay, well, you can get LASIK or once you get in, you know, you can get glasses, you know, no big deal. We've already spent the money. Well, yeah, it makes it kind of a tough pill to swallow sometimes, I know. But it's good that you have that, you know, that resource there. So, I mean, there's just a lot of things that you've continued to add at Stallion 51 that makes it such a great place to come to, you know, for flying, on the medical side. And like I said, I was talking with Steve Larimore, one of your guys, talking about the Texan. You know, there's another another step up. You know, you can step get into the Texan and then work your way to the P-51 Mustang.
Absolutely. So. And I've got to say something. The team of guys that I have working for me, and you've met a couple of them, mm-hmm. are just stellar. And, you know, I couldn't ask for a better team of people that carry our standards forward and do the job as well as they do it. Mm-hmm. And as I said, you met Doc and Steve Larimore and John Pawson and John Black, Homer. You've seen Homer fly in the Super Decathlon. And
incredible.
Here's the guy that flew F-15s for 23 years and you know, guarding our country. And so right. It's a great team. I'm humbled to just be around those guys.
Wow, yeah, that's good. But you know what? They all have that same drive and that same desire to do such a great job. But you can tell just talking to them, you know, that they really enjoy it and they like what they do and they're glad to be there. So that just shows it's a great work environment and a great facility to be at, you know, whether they're just somebody's coming in to visit, to take flying lessons, whatever, you know, airframe it might be in, or to get a flight physical, or maybe take some of the upset training, whatever that might be. You can tell that's a great place to come to. So that's something that you've built. And then, you know, I mean, that's not a public service announcement. That's just things that I gather that I, you know, you hear and talk to people. So just a little feedback.
That's well, one of the things also key, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say this, that the standard joke is that I break some airplanes. You know, I have squawks, but I've got two twin brothers, Peter and Richard Lauterbach, that are probably, they're the best Mustang mechanics in the world. So I break them, they fix them.
Excellent.
The airplane that's I'm flying good. Today in the demonstration has mm-hmm. actually been built from those guys. Every nut, bolt, rivet was taken out.
Replaced.
The airplane is better than new. And so they are absolutely key.
Now that's Crazy Horse too.
That's Crazy Horse too. Yeah.
Excellent. So can you give us a little history, if you want, about Crazy Horse and Crazy Horse 2? And, like, you know, you guess Crazy Horse came first and then was bred, and Crazy Horse 2 came out of that. He came out in the hangar, and here comes Crazy Horse 2 one morning.
Well, we were actually flying a lot of hours on what we call Horse 1, and the airplane was needing more and more extended maintenance. And for the tempo of our flight operations, the logical thing was to get a second P-51. And so we made that commitment, and now you go like, wow, what are we going to call the aircraft?
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody wants to fly Crazy Horse.
And
I'm going, here we go. So we sat back, and we're going, okay, what's the logical way of doing this? Instead of having two sets of T-shirts and hats and models, and I'm going, you know what, Crazy Horse to the second power. So we painted the aircraft identical.
Excellent.
Horse 2 is mm-hmm. polished. Horse 1 is painted. And Horsey 2 is sort of like the aircraft now that takes the major workload. And although Horse 1 is still my favorite.
Now, Horse 2 is one that you use. They're mostly in Kissimmee just for, like, all the training and everything. And Horse 1 is that you take out for the air shows?
Yeah, Horse 2 actually goes to the air show. The hard work, the higher G. And Horsey 1 is sort of like the thoroughbred that goes out to green pastures and doesn't have to work quite so hard.
I understand.
But,
so.
But that's my favorite, as I said. That's
because
Crazy Horse 1 is like putting on my old pair of loafers.
Ah, nice and comfortable.
They're not quite bright as shiny as the new pair of shoes, but boy, do they feel good. And mm-hmm. that's the way Horse 1 is.
Could that be some because you had more time in Horse 1 and you feel more, you know what I mean, kind of more at home?
Yeah, I do. I've got probably 6,000, almost 7,000 hours in Horse 1. So, yeah, that's like, you know, as I said, the just feels right, you know. Mm-hmm. And the Mustang is a lot about feel. And so that's my favorite airplane of all the Mustangs I've ever flown.
And you've flown a few.
I've flown quite a few, yeah. I've been blessed to fly a lot.
That's great. Well, you know, we've got one up at Craig Airport there with Dave Marco, Sizzling Liz, which I'm sure you're familiar with somewhat.
Yeah, I know David.
Have you flown that one?
I've actually flown Sizzling Liz, I believe, once, and actually did some training work with Dave Marco.
Excellent.
And
yeah.
Just a great guy. And, again, another true professional mm-hmm. Bringing the Warbird aircraft into professional flight operations.
Excellent.
And Dave has been very, very instrumental in
that's good.
In that.
What's how's your schedule look coming up for the, I guess, for the air show season? I know there's some changes. Everybody's talking about the changes with the sequestering and, you know, the military having to pull out of some of the air shows. Has that affected you guys?
Rich, it really has. the sequestration has affected so many people in different ways, and a lot of my air show work was with the Air Force Heritage Flight Program, mm-hmm. and so not only did the Thunderbirds get stood down, but all the single ship demos, which are key to the Heritage Flight Program, mm-hmm. is stood down. So, but we're still alive. We went through the training out in Tucson, Arizona this mm-hmm. year, and I truly believe that the Heritage Flight will come back, and we're even talking about bringing it back from a civilian standpoint just to keep the program alive. So you may not see an F-22 with a Mustang, but you might see the P-38 with a Mustang. You might see something else with a Mustang.
So that is kind of more of the everyone that's in that kind of arena of warbird owners. You know, you kind of that circle of owners to get together and talk and say, hey, let's, you know, who has the time or the resources to be able to.
Yeah, resources are a big one, but there are only, I believe right now, 10 or 11 guys qualified for the program, and it's a very extensive qualification
training
process, and not from our side, but from the Air Force mm-hmm. side, and so we look at resources, and we all just sort of go, okay, how can we make this work, and you know, there have been some players, Dan Freakin, one of them is Dad Tom Freakin, been instrumental in keeping the Heritage Flight Program alive and going forward.
And they keep it alive, by, I guess, by just some of their involvement with it and trying to just keep the Air Force's ear, you know, keep a bug in their ear. And
well, exactly right. Plus, they've got resources. I mean, they have enough historic airplanes to almost have their own Air Force. So
right.
Those are key. And you know, Dan and his dad, Tom, are just incredibly talented pilots and, you know, instrumental in this program to keep it pushing forward, because it's hard to take these assets around the country anymore and keep them running.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, it's the expense and just the, you know, the not only the time but the expense and just everything that goes with it, and the, you know, all the support, you know, because it's not just you going, it's you got to have, you know, your people go as well, so, and all these other people with theirs. So I could see that could be challenging.
Yeah, without a doubt. Can I say something to the young guys out
yes.
there listening?
Mm-hmm.
That you know, back to my dreams, and I've been very blessed, as you know, to fly the Mustang, but it's not to give up on something you really want. And if you hit a hurdle or a snag, don't just automatically go to something else.
Persevere.
But, yeah, try to do a workaround solution to it, because that's truly how I got to where I was today. I just didn't want to say that's it. So, mm-hmm. you know, if I couldn't fly for the Air Force, then I would make my own Air Force.
Right.
And so really they're workaround solutions. You've heard the thing, you know, take lemons and make lemonade. But, you know, I'm an example of
that is a great example.
Going.
Well, excellent. You know, there are times come where they're telling us that we've got to end our discussion. But listen, Lee, it was great talking with you.
Rich,
it's always
a pleasure
to have you here.
Well, thank
folks,
you very
much. We've been talking to Mr. Lee Lauterbach of Stallion 51. And stay tuned. We have more for you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.